Are you ready for the word? Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity of thoughts. The truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with accuracy, with precision and simplicity. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive God's word. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. Let's try to tie the knot around a few things we had opened up from Friday into Saturday, right? So look at Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. And he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Now let's read 17 together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. And this sign shall follow them that believe. 1, 2, 3, go. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new, what? Tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything, what? Deadly. It shall not, what? Hurt them. They shall lay hands on the, what? Sick. And they shall recover. Let's say that together. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall, let's say it one more time together. They shall lay hands on the sick. And one more time together, everybody. They shall lay hands on the sick. And one more time together, everybody. One more time together. Let's say together. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall, let's say we shall lay hands. 1, 2, 3, go. We shall lay hands on the sick. And they, say it one more time. We shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall, one more time together. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. One more time together. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Say, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, he tells you that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he says that is part of the signs that should follow. If you look at verse 17, it says, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out. So, there are signs that follow people who believe. Are we together? Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. And in next, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Now, so Jesus says that all power is given unto me, so go ye therefore in that authority. So if you look at go ye therefore in that authority, Mark now makes you see what Matthew does not show you when he says signs shall follow. Are we together? Are we together? So go ye therefore and teach, but Mark now goes a step further in verse 16 of verse 17 of chapter 16. He says what? This sign shall follow. Now look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Quickly. Luke 24, verse 24. Look at this again carefully. Look at this carefully. It says, Luke 24, 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the what? Woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophet hath spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his what? His glory. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning, everybody, verse 27, 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the word they expounded is the word diamenu. Remember that? And it's the word that deals with Di and Emmanuel. Are we together? And we said it's an act of interpreting that involves translating. Do you remember that? Look at verse 44. He now says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. Are we together? Then he now says in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Are we together? Let's read 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. They now says what? These signs? Did you get that? It's not in that Bible, right? So I'm bringing Mark 16, right? So when he says, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. Mark now makes you see, and these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Are we together? So we looked at Luke 24 and we said the Bible, that what Jesus did was he expounded, he diamonded. And in our series on the name of Jesus, which we are doing hand in hand with this Bible seminar, we're trying to look at, or we've been paying attention to what you call didache. Remember that? What is didache? The mode of what? Teaching. Right? So there is a systematic mode or a systematic way of reading and teaching God's word. Are we together? And Jesus gives you the easiest way to think about it. He says, I'm beginning at Moses. Are we together? So in Jesus' system, he began at where? Moses. So in Jesus' didache, he began at where? Moses. So I'm beginning at Moses and not the prophet. He expounded. So the mode of teaching of Jesus is to begin at the beginning. Hallelujah. Look at neighbor and say, make sure you begin at the beginning when you study God's word. Are we together? So we started looking at the beginning, and we're looking at this sign shall follow. And we're able to pay attention to the word signs yesterday, right? And we used to look at the first use of the word sign in Genesis, and the first two uses of the word sign in Exodus. Remember that? Yesterday, right? And we said sign is the Hebrew word what? O-T-H. Oath. Are we together? O-T-H is the Hebrew word for the name sign, while the Greek word is semion. That is S-E-M-E-I-O-N, semion. Right? So semion is the Greek word for the Hebrew word oath. Right? O-T-H. And is the word in English that means what? Signs. So when he says this sign shall follow, you can say this semion shall follow in the Greek. Or this oath in the Hebrew shall follow them that believe. Are we together? Now, we said a sign is something or an event or a thing or that symbol or that event, so to say, that what? Points to a remarkable what? Event or a message. Is that true? Or that points to a remarkable event or a message. You understand that, right? Right? So, a sign points to both the future and the past. Are we together? A sign points to both the future and the past. So, we started talking about how you have the cessationist who believe that the things of the Spirit cease with Jesus Christ, or the things of the Spirit ends with the apostles. You know, but the truth remains that the book of Acts of Apostles is just a template of what the early church started to do, which by extension should be found in an average church all over the world. Are we together? Yeah, so there's not a thing as seen. So there is nothing that Jesus performed in, or there is no miracle that Jesus performed in that has ceased today. So Jesus, in his last teaching, he tells you, this is what Matthew summarizes, or Mark rather, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. This sign shall follow them that believe. So have you believed? Have you believed? So it means that there are signs that that are required of you. Are we together? There are signs that are required for you. Now, we said yesterday or 2 days ago that the reason for signs is because there is a message to be what? Believed. Are we together? The reason for sign is because there is something that is to believed or to be believed, or there is something that has been believed. Are we together? So a sign is not the message. Are we here? Is that true? But points to the message. Right? So if anyone wants to come to God's palace today and hear God's word, which is God's message, for instance, right? Before you get to the Guagalada Park there, yeah, you will see a signboard that is pointing you to the message. Yeah, so you don't get the message at the signboard, right? Yeah, you can get a message. The message is showing you the arrow, right? Or a message showing you the times of our meetings, right? But the message is found where you have us gathered to teach God's word. Are we together? So it says, this sign shall follow them that believe. So can we say, this sign shall follow them that believe the message? Are we together? This sign shall follow them that believe the message. Are we here? Yes, sir. The message of the gospel. Are we together? Yeah, Jelion. Now remember, we explained that the gospel is not just good news. Did we do that yesterday? Right? So ideally, while we're growing up, is that what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news. Why? Yes, but that's a half definition, a half-baked definition. Because the gospel is the good news about a victory. Are we together? Are we together? The gospel is the good news about a victory. We try to pay attention to it. And we say the word gospel is a what? Greco-Roman what? Language or Greco-Roman conversation. Are we together? So this is what I mean. When you say the gospel is good news, ideally it's an absolute to a lot of people's mind. Are we together? So if you get home right now and somebody puts money in your account, maybe $1 million USD in your account, is that a good news? Is that the gospel? So is the gospel that good news? So it means that the gospel is a definite good news. And we said it's a concept where when a king takes over a kingdom and he reigns over the kingdom, his messenger goes ahead and proclaims the victory to his cabinet. Are we together? Now, we looked at yesterday, and we're seeing the scriptures where it speaks about how thy Lord reigns is the victory or the message of the victory of Jesus, of God, so to say. Are we together? So the gospel is not just good news. What is gospel? Good news. No, it's not just good news. It is the good news of the victory that has been won. It's the good news of the victory that has been won. It's the good news of the victory that has been won. It's the good news of the victory that has been won. Over who? The victory over the devil. Are we together? Right? How did God win that victory over the devil? He won the victory over the devil in that he didn't lift a hand to touch the devil. What a victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he didn't, you know, we taught that in what happened in 3 days. Don't think that Jesus, when he went to hell or whatever in the grave, he was fighting. No, no, no. In fact, that is why it is foolishness to man. Because Jesus died by not touch, by not hurting a fly. Or rather, Jesus won the victory by not hurting a fly. So how did Jesus win the victory? He submitted himself to death that had power over man. And in that submission to death, he is winning the battle. Are we together? Are we here? So he partook of blood and flesh and blood, partook of death. And in that, we have the victory. That is, you subjected the eternal God, the immortal God, the invisible God to death. That's the victory. And he resurrected again. That's the victory. Are we together? So when it says preach the gospel is preach the good news of the victory. And what happens? The signs shall follow. Say preach the gospel. Say to preach the gospel is to preach the good news of the victory, and signs ought to follow. So we started looking at Egypt and looking at the signs in Egypt. And we said that the signs in Egypt, they are pointers to the deliverance in the resurrection. Are we together? The signs in Egypt are pointers to the deliverance in the resurrection. So was there literal deliverance in Egypt? From Egypt, yes. But what was it pointing to? It's pointing to the deliverance that we have in the resurrection. Are we together? So the passing of the Red Sea, was that a deliverance? Was that a deliverance? People of God. Did people really pass Red Sea? Yes, so people walked through Red Sea. Did the Red Sea part? The Red Sea part, you know. The one I don't know is if it's the blast of his nostril. But I know that the Red Sea part, and that was a miracle. And they walked through the Red Sea. Walking through the Red Sea, is that a sign? A sign of the fact that what? We will walk through the Red Sea. So we will walk out of the bondage of the devil. So so Egypt will be a sign of bondage. Uh-huh. Yes, Egypt will be a sign of bondage. And Canaan will be a sign of what? The promised land. So the promise of Canaan to mankind is not a literal place. Because Canaan is a sign. You don't get that? The promise of Canaan to Abraham, right? You know, we explain how God's promise to Abraham is the promise of the land. And the land is himself. And that was the same promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So God is the land that he promised himself to Abraham. And in that land, there is pasture. Are we together? And in that land, there is graciousness, there is goodness, there is what? Mercy. You're following. Beautiful. Are we together? So that land is what is promised to the children of Israel, and it's not a literal land. Is there a literal land called Canaan? Yes. What is it? A sign. Pointing to what? The future event. So now, was there literal Canaan land? Yes. But we will now come to Canaan, which is now God's Jerusalem, and would have pasture, what you would call a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Are we together? Milk and honey, a sign to God's goodness, yeah? Right? To God's pasture in the land. All together. So signs point to an event. Are we together? Signs point to an event. Signs will point to an event. The event could either be ahead or be behind. So look at Numbers 14 quickly. Numbers 14, 11. Are we there? Yesterday, did we look at the sign of the burning bush? And what did we say? It points to preservation, right? So the burning bush was burning, but the bush did not burn. And it points to what? Preservation. Look at Numbers 14, 11. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? for all the signs which I have showed amongst them. So it means that the signs were so that they will believe the message of Moses. So signs in the real sense were for them to believe the message of Moses. In the real sense today, signs will now be what? For us to believe the message of the gospel. That is the message of Jesus. Are we together? Now, yesterday we explained who the messenger is. Remember that? We explained the message. We explained the messenger. We said Jesus is the messenger and the message. And is the messenger of the message. And is the message of the messenger. I'll say it one more time. Jesus is the messenger. We looked at that yesterday. We examined how John the Baptist was a messenger, but not the messenger. Are we together? Yeah, so John the Baptist. So Jesus is, we used Isaiah 43, we used Isaiah, we used Malachi 3 to explain John the Baptist and all of that. So we said that Jesus is the message and is the messenger. Are we together? So Jesus is the message. You understand it this way. Jesus is both the message. You get that now? He's both the message and the messenger. Are we here? Have you gone home? Beautiful. So Jesus is both the message and the messenger. Now, Jesus is the messenger of the message. Are we together? And is also the message of the messenger. The same thing. Are we together? So we're going to explain that that message is to be believed and signs will follow. Look at John 6 quickly. John chapter 6, verse 30. John chapter 6, verse 30. If you are there, say, I'm there. John 6, 30. You are there? John 6, 30. And they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see? What? What sign showest us then that we may see? And what? Believe. So can you see sign goes ahead with what? Believe. They were asking, what sign should we see so we can believe? Are we together? You know, Jesus now responds to a group of people. He said, you adulterous generation, who seeketh a sign? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyways, let's not go there today. So what sign should we believe? Okay, if you want to go back, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye what? Believe on him whom he had. So what is God's work? Primarily, believe on him who he sent. Now look at verse 30. Now said, therefore, they said unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What does thou work? Even our father. Yeah, so you can see 31. See verse 31. Check your Bibles, 31. What does it now say? Even our fathers, they ate what? Manna. In the way? Desert. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So, was there bread supernaturally supplied in the desert? What was it to be? A sign. How do you know? The people were just saying, even our fathers had a sign. You, what is your sign? You get that? Our fathers had a sign. They had a sign. Yes, they ate bread. Oh, you, what do you have to give? Oh, I don't be interested in. Jesus not even gave them bread and fed them. The next day they came back, they went back home because there was no bread. Are we together? Bread will not bring people to learn God's word. Are we together? That's why you see people that do suya night and bread night. And they do it once a year. You will use all the money of the church to feed people. At the end of the day, they will not grow. Why? Because they are coming for the bread and the suya. See, when you have a meeting and there is a reward attached to it, and you see people in their number, that's not the glory of God. The glory of God covered the earth, water covered the sea. That's not the glory. That's not that glory he was talking about in the Bible. That's the glory of suya. That's the glory of bread. So people will come. I heard there are some places now you go to, when they finish, they will ask you to check under your chair, there will be yam. You say, you want to go there? Watch out for Sister Nek. She must be here next Sunday. Because before you go to the WhatsApp and Instagram and find them, the pastor, you know, it's just that work they called us, you know, it's yam you're looking for. So they put yam, they put envelope with money and slice it in. You know, the things people do for crowd will baffle you. It will shock you. It will shock you. You go and bring people from the inner forest of the city, go and rent bus and be bringing all of them, and they don't understand English, and they are in church for 2 hours.
and there's no interpreter. You don't understand. They don't understand English, but they feel all the old here. And you, it's only English you are speaking, no interpreter. Cameraman will now video. Cut away. People will always look for what will satisfy their stomach. You know, I gave us an example on Wednesday. Who did I even use on Wednesday? With $1 million and laying on of hands. Is Esther available? Is she in church today? Was she the one that said I should lay my hands together with the $1 million? Okay, it's Brian that said it. Choose one. You said that you know the word. You and I, we change the word. You sang today. You and I, we change the word. He said, Pastor, when it comes to money and anointing, use the hand anointing and lay the money with it on my head. That's the way she wants to change the word. Because, you know, the gospel needs money. You see, she's relating. Are we together? So, in the real sense, people will always look for what will satisfy their stomach immediately. Even me. Don't say it outside, though. But even me. I'm looking for what will what? Feed me. I don't want to suffer. When I was small, I sang me, I no go suffer. I no go back. Now that I'm big. I was singing it that time when my parents were feeding me. Now I'm feeding myself. I must live in that reality. Me, I must not suffer. I must not beg for what? Bread. I want to get that. So it's natural to want natural things. It's not bad. It's not bad to want things. It's not bad to want to be rich. It's not bad to want to have money. Okay, there are very few people who you give huge amounts of money that will reject. That's the truth. Even when you tell them the source of the money. There are very few people who can do that. So everybody wants it. But the truth remains that there are signs or there are certain things that will be natural and they are not the core message. That is why what we do a lot of times is that what we now preach the signs as the what? The message. But what are signs? Signs are for you to believe the message. The sign is not the message, but it's a pointer for you to believe that there is a message. So he now says that even our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What do you have? What do you have? He gave them bread. Right? But what do you have? So the bread that they gave, that they ate in the wilderness, is that a sign? Is the bread the message? So the bread is not the message, but it is the message. Are we together? The bread they gave in the wilderness was a sign that points to the message. Now look at verse 31. I love how Jesus answers this question. Look at verse 32. Let's read together. John 6:32. He says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So is there such a thing as true bread and physical bread? So did Moses really give them physical bread? It was the bread he gave them fake. So it means that when he now says that my Father gives you true bread, do not look at true in reference to fake. You get that? Right? Because they had literal bread. I don't think the bread Moses would give them. Imagine Moses giving them expired bread supernaturally. It can't be expired. Are we together? So when he says my Father will give the true bread from heaven, right? He now says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from where? Heaven. And what does he do? He giveth life unto the world. So he took them through the Red Sea, right? In the real sense, it's a sign, it's a pointer to the message. Right? He gave them bread, is a sign, is a pointer to the message. So the message of bread, listen to me everyone, the message of the supernatural bread is a message to show that God supplies what? Bread to the world. And the bread God supplies is what? Supernatural bread. Are we together? So signs will never build the message. So we looked at yesterday where we said physical healing is a sign of what? Divine healing. Is that true? Spiritual healing. Supernatural healing. We started explaining all of those things. We said, we summarize that teaching with what? Healing is a sign. Are we together? Yesterday, we looked at John the Baptist that walked in offense. Remember that? John the Baptist. What happened to John the Baptist? Matthew 11:3. What happened to him? You know, having said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Small thing, they arrested him. He faced persecution. What happened in the prison? He told his disciples, please come. When I asked that Jesus that I announced, you were there when I announced, you know, the words that I started with the grace. I finished with the grace. I said the word of prayer and I said, this is the lamp. Remember that meeting, that teaching meeting? That Jesus. When I meet him, I ask him, is he the one that was to come? Yes, I know. It was my words I used to say to. I even used Aramaic. Yes, is he the one that was to come or we are waiting for another? Why? Because he was in offense in the prison. What did Jesus say to his disciples? And they too, loyal boys. They went to go and meet Jesus. Jesus said, what? Go back and tell him of the things you hear and you see. What are the things? That the blind, they see. The lame, they walk. I'm going to teach something today. Okay? Now, why did Jesus tell them that? Because signs are pointers to the message. Now, signs were going to elapse the time up until the fulfillment of the message comes in the resurrection. Are we together? So the signs will keep pointing. So what was Jesus really doing to John? Pointing him back to a sign. So the signs will remain until the fulfillment of what? The promise. Think about it this way. You know, a few years ago, we used to have like 3 signboards before we come here, right? There's one at Gorada Park, all together. There's one at one junction here, before Stella Maris, and there's one at this junction here, then there's one here. 4 signs, right, to get to the reality, right? So let's think about the first Gorada one as Moses is and his sign. All together, you now come to the prophets in the second signboard. You now come to Jesus and the apostles before the resurrection. All together, then you now approach Jesus and the apostles before the resurrection into a few days to the resurrection. Then you now enter here and see, oh, he's alive. So those signs we've been looking at from Gorada Park is to point you to where the message is. What is the message? The Lord reigns. He is alive. In the resurrection, there is such a thing as what? Forgiveness of sins given to mankind. I want to get that. Now, we started explaining how physical healing points to spiritual healing. Now, we explained Isaiah 53. By stripes, we are healed. Remember that teaching yesterday? Right? We explained by stripes, we are healed. Now, are there people who use by stripes, you are healed to heal people of cancer? Yes, so. Remember I said something yesterday. God's power is regardless of man's knowledge. Are we together? God will use who he chooses or who he wants to use. The people God uses are not the people that are the smartest in theology a lot of times. At that phrase. Are we together? A lot of time, the people that you see experience the miraculous are not necessarily the smartest when it comes to theology. You might know the Greek word of Matthew to Revelation. And you can even read Matthew to Revelation in Greek. And one guy that his language is not even complete to you. He'll just be tapping people and they are rising up. Are we together? So in the real sense, we said that what Isaiah 53, we opened up. Now remember I said something yesterday. Now in the book of Isaiah, whilst he opens up sickness to explain iniquity, is that true? Sinful nation, Isaiah 1. Are we together? There was still the use of sickness or sick for physical sickness in the book of Isaiah. However, the contextual holistic view of sickness will not be physical when you get to Isaiah. Now, we're able to explain that Jesus did these signs that it may be fulfilled what the prophet said. So, the infirmities that Jesus bore on his body, the wounds and the sores he bore on his body were not for physical wounds and sores. If it were for physical wounds and sores, it means that anybody who has believed the gospel should never be sick. Are we together? Are we together? Everybody who believes the gospel should never be sick. If he bore sickness on his body physically, it will mean that in the real sense, anybody that is a believer should never has no right to be sick. And sickness has no right to kill anybody. We explained that, right? So when it says, by his stripes we are healed, the next verse really tells you, as sheep that have gone astray, we have returned back to the what? The bishop and the shepherd of our soul. So by his stripes, ye are healed. Now, Isaiah will tell you are healed. Peter will tell you we're healed. Are we together? So, both signs. So, sickness or healing will be parables. We said that yesterday. Is that true? Sickness is a parable for what? Sin. Remember that? Iniquity. Why healing is a parable for what? Wholeness. Completeness. Are we together? So, whilst physical healing can be healed by God's power, the resurrection was aimed to sort out what? The spiritual healing. That is why when before Jesus died, are we together? He was already healing people. Is that not true? Yes. When people healed before Jesus died and resurrected, so that means Jesus did not need to die. So if God's goal or the goal of Jesus was to sort out that which is healing, for instance, yeah, it means that there was no need for him to die because people were already doing it. Now, you know, I said this before, yeah? I said this before. I usually say this, right? Jesus will not come and die for that thing which man on earth already has. Are we together? Are we together? You know, and that's why, you know, sometimes in time past, we used to teach about how Jesus died for wealth, your health, your wealth, and sin. It sounds exciting, but it's not true. All together, it sounds exciting, but it's not true. Because he's alive, I'll never be poor. No, it's not true. Because he's alive, I'll be wealthy. Yeah. So some of you now, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. When you now get to that part, he knows my future. You are crying, I worship because you know, yeah, the plan he has for you are of good. You're already seeing yourself as wealthy. Oh, God cannot see you as poor. You see, the conversation of poverty and riches, in fact, because of some of you, let me just say, it's 99% in the hands of men. It's not because of some of you, I'd have said 100. I shall say what I'm going to say. If not because of some of you, I would have said 100. But let me just say 99.999% in the hands of men. I was together. Don't approximate it. Just leave that 0.01. Yeah? It's in the hands of what? Men. Men are responsible for the distribution of wealth. Think about it now. When you buy something in the market, is the money remaining in you? If you don't do anything that supplies or increases the money, will the money just increase? Imagine that's the way life is. Who to be happy? You go to the supermarket, you go and buy Capri Sun, you buy corned beef, you buy everything, you are pushing trolley, you are singing, put earpiece, listen to pastor's voice. Are we together? You get to the toilet, they give you bill, say 6,000, you first shake. If you know that you are walking back home and offloading into the car, the money is just returning. Want to be happy? For some of you, as soon as you leave the counter like this, your mood will just change. Even the person that wants to even mark the receipt, to tear the receipt and convert what you bought, you'll be, why are you asking me? Do I look like someone that is begging? How is it getting? Because you know, you have to look for ways to replenish that money. Once we believe in the miraculous, yes, I believe in the miracle. I'm a man of the miraculous. I believe strongly. I believe that my needs are met. I believe that strongly. You should believe that. Once you believe in that, there is a God-given way in which needs of men are met. If all of you, God prompts in your heart to give me money to buy a car tomorrow, if all of you reject, none of you will give me. And I will not buy the car. You understand? If all of you reject to listen to that inward witness, that's why a lot of times the pastor has to be the inward witness. Listen to the voice within you. Listen to the voice, that which you hold so strong in your heart. You listen to God's voice within you. What you will be hearing is his voice. He has already told you there's something you are holding strong in your heart. What is he saying? Let go. Yeah? For anything that cannot meet your need, give as a seed. Are we together? What cannot meet your need? If cannot meet you, just sow it as a seed. You see, fear in the hand. I mean, how do you say it again? Is a majority with God. Yeah, God will multiply that which seems. You see, God will say all manners of fear. That's why people, a lot of times, Christians go into depression. All together. Because we've been promised a lot of things. A lot. What did he not promise you? Promised us a lot of things. Come to my Jesus. You will never be broke. And the person that is telling you does not have food in the evening. Is it not true? Is there every evangelist that go on the street that has money? Me yesterday that went, that have money. Abi? It's not everybody that goes on the street that has money now. It's not everybody that goes on the street that knows they are tomorrow. But they know they have God. And those that know God will do brilliantly. It is well. But in the reason, the message of the gospel is that God forgives sin. Yeah, the message of the gospel is not that you will live in health. Mm-mm. Whilst you can, by the power of the Holy Ghost, live in health, it is not the message of the gospel. Listen to me, everyone. Don't you know that there are people who are sick that are mighty, miraculous workers? You don't know that? There are people who are sick that are mighty, miraculous workers. There are people who are blind that are mighty, miraculous workers. You that with your two eyes, you've not done a quarter of what they've done. We. And I say, don't feel bad. It's all of us together. If you put all the miracles we've done together, multiply by 100, it has not reached. Here, they don't have eyes. They cannot see. You need to read on church history. In fact, in recent times, there's a man called Baba Abadare. Are we together? There's also a man called Inede Abie, Baba Abie. Blind man. The man said, angel used to cut his hair. He said, angel used to cut his hair. That angel, he doesn't. And really, truly, for years, they never saw a physical barber that entered his room to cut his hair. Vabi, with Inede, with walking stick. See the miraculous he has done. So you can. Oh gracious, God is just good. You are not the one to qualify who God will use. That is why you don't look down on humans at all. Never look down on humans. Don't rate people with material things. Because a lot of times, you know, are we together? Don't always be one who is looking for the spectacular. Because supernatural is always, a lot of times, is always disguised. Praise God. So, we're trying to point our attention to how offense in John the Baptist's life, regardless of what he proclaimed. Praise God. So, we examined in scriptures, I spoke about how bread is a sign that God supplies himself as bread to what? Man. The same way land is a sign that God supplies himself as land to what? Man. Are you here? Yesterday, let's go into what we have today now. Yeah. Yesterday, we looked at healing, and we looked at healing in three phases. We said the word healing was used for both physical healing, spiritual healing, and what again? Restorational healing. That's amongst relationships. And we looked at James 5, if any of you is sick, let him call the elders, lay hands on me, and use oil for him, and the prayer of the righteous shall make him see, and everything. Now it says that confess your fault one to another, that ye may be what? Healed. Confessing your fault one to another is about the fact that what? You confess yourself, or you expose yourself, or have conversation with a fellow person, and in that conversation, strained relationships are realigned. So healing used for physical healing, healing then used for supernatural healing, then healing used for restoration, which is what? Seared relationship amongst what? People generally. Praise God. Now, so it means that one way or the other, if we can use healing for restoration, it means that the supernatural healing that Jesus supplies comes with restoration. And the reason is that's reconciliation. Okay. When I offend my brother and I have a conversation with him, and we now say, oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you, and he's healed from that hurt, can we say we have restored our relationship? Can we say we've reconciled back together? Can we say we've reconciled? We have reconciled back. Are we together? So it means that the healing of Jesus, or the healing, the supernatural healing, it comes with what? Reconciliation. That's why you see in Philemon, right? Whilst Philemon will teach, when Paul will now write Philemon, he says, I've heard of your faith and love among saints. Yes, I pray that your communication of your freedom will be what? Effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing you have in Christ. He now tells you about how there's this brother Onesimus. So that healing, so what was Paul trying to do between Philemon and Onesimus? Restore, reconcile. Can we say heal? Beautiful, that's the word, right? So we can say he healed their relationship, restore, reconcile them back together. Are we together? So the healing ministry of Jesus is a pointer or a proof that God heals spiritually. Now, what is the healing of God's supernatural? What is God's spiritual healing? Giving of the Spirit? Forgiveness of sins? Remission of sins? Are we here? So has God healed you? How has he healed you? He has healed you by supplying forgiveness of sins to you. How? He gave you the what? The Holy Ghost. So did Jesus bear sickness on the cross physically? No. But did he bear sickness on the cross? Yes. What kind of sickness? Sickness that is a parable for what? Sin and iniquity. All together. So what is the proof? He heals the sick. You get that? What is the proof that Jesus has taken care of sickness? Sin, rather. The proof that Jesus has taken care of sin and iniquity is that what? He heals the sick. Say, Jesus heals the sick. Say, Jesus heals the sick. Say, Jesus heals the sick. Hallelujah. Now remember, in the healing ministry of Jesus, he never turned anybody back. He never. What does that mean? We started yesterday. It means that Jesus welcomes everyone into his family. Now we looked yesterday about the temple. How Jesus went to the temple and started chasing everybody out. And he says what? You have turned this place to a what? A den of thieves. Were they still in there? No. We explained that in church before. When he says you've turned this place to a den of thieves, it means they were robbing the purpose of the temple from what it ought to be, which is for prayer. So they were using Paul to rob Peter. So it ought to be for prayer. They were doing merchandise. So when the Bible now says, after he chased them out, the Bible says he went out and he healed Everybody. Now, in the Jewish culture, if you have an impediment, or you have a infirmity, deformity, you are not permitted to be in the temple. You stay outside. Think about it. Why do you think that there was that man, the leprous man that Jesus healed, and he said, go and do what? Show yourself to who? It is the priest that qualifies who comes to the temple. So Jesus is our priest that has qualified us to come into the temple. So in those days, the priest was like the NCDC. Nigerian Center for Disease Control. So those are the ones that say COVID positive, COVID negative, COVID positive. I know some of you don't even know where they do COVID tests. It's a good thing though. And they came inside. We now went back to Isaiah to see the prophecy. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. So God healing the sicknesses without discriminating is a pointer that in God's healing supernaturally, there's no discrimination. That's why Paul now tells you in Galatians 3, there's neither what? Greek, neither Jew, neither bond, neither master, neither male, neither female, for we are all what? One. We all have access to God. Say, I have access to God. Say, I'm born of God. I'm full of God. Say, I can hear God. Say, I can hear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the healing ministry of Jesus is a pointer that in the supernatural. Now, you know, the only place, one of the few places where you would have recorded that Jesus did not do so much miracle was in his hometown. Mark, right? And the Bible says they did not what? They did not receive him. Are we together? What were they saying? Son of carpenter. What do you want? Can anything good come out from you and your lineage? All together. But there's something that you should learn from Jesus. The Bible says that he couldn't do so much in a city, yet he healed a few folks. That means in God's healing and supernatural healing, his love is so predominant that the only reason that will make man not to receive healing is not from him. Do you understand? So be that kind of believer such that anybody can receive from you, or people will not stop receiving from you because of you. What do I mean? Imagine I came to church today now, and I'm very upset with everyone, for instance. Like today. Right? Imagine I came to church today, and I was very upset with everyone because of our approach towards God's word and coming of saints. Whilst I will correct, let it be that I will still be able to communicate God's power to you, and the reason you cannot receive from me is because you are angry, I was upset. That's what happened to Jesus. Let it be that I'm not the one that is choosing you. See, you are upset at me. Come and receive. Obviously, that he healed, they did not honor him, but yet he healed a few folks. So it means that anybody that did not heal, that was not healed, was not because of Jesus. So in the dishonor to Jesus, are we here? Jesus remained Jesus. In the open dishonor to Jesus, he remained Jesus, ready to give graciously, ready to give his goodness, ready to give mercy. Are we together? So, Jesus healed all that came to him. That's why you see so many scriptures we looked at yesterday. He healed them all. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus' message of spiritual healing has a sign, which is what? Physical healing. So if Jesus healed all the sick without turning any of them back, it means that forgiveness of sin is for all without turning anyone back. Do you get that? Do you get that? Jesus healing all the sick is a sign and a pointer to the fact that forgiveness of sin, in the forgiveness of sin God offers, he doesn't reject or turn anyone back. Now, let's see the message of the apostles after resurrection. Look at Mark. I want us to be fast right now, okay? Let's do a quick study. Look at Mark. Mark 16, verse 17. Then we'll jump to 20 for time. So I want us to be fast. We're going to read lots of scriptures. I want you to check your Bibles, follow through as we're reading, so you don't miss out on the point of what I'm about to establish. Right? Mark 16. Now, he that believeth, Mark 16:16, he that believeth, or rather, verse 15, go into the world and preach the... Is that Caruso, the Iagelion? Iagelion, that is the good news of the victory. You are here, right? Now, so what is the message they were to preach? Good news of the victory. What now followed in verse 17? Signs shall follow. So was their message ever signs? Was their message ever signs? So their message was what? The gospel. So it means that no matter the miraculous we wrought as a church, our message must always be the same. Signs are addendums. They are to what? Follow. Now look at verse 20. Let's read 20 together. Mark 16, 20. 1, 2, 3, go. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the what? Words with what? Signs following. What words was the signs confirming? The words of the message of the gospel. Look at Acts 2 quickly. Let's run. Can we run? Can we run? Look at Acts 2. So you write quickly, read quickly. Acts 2, 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. Now verse 43, 1, 2, 3, go. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the what? Apostles. What was their message? The apostles' doctrine, which is the gospel. Right? So signs was not their what? Message. Are you here? Look at Acts 3. Peter and John, verse 1, went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being a night hour. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried and laid daily at the gate called Beautiful to beg. When he saw Peter, he asked Peter for money. Right? Verse 4, Peter, fastening his eye upon him, said, look on us. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold we don't have. Verse 7, he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and his feet were strengthened. Verse 8, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking. Now, why do you think he was at the gate of the temple? It's not because he really literally wanted to beg. He was officially not allowed to go into the temple. Remember, he has an infirmity. He has a deformity. I go together. Now, look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the gate. You know, they knew him so well. Are we here? And when Peter saw it, look at verse 10. And they knew that it was he that sat at the gate for alms. And they were filled with what? Signs, or with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed by Peter, all the people ran together unto them in the porch. Now look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people and said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? What were they marveling at? The signs. Look at verse 13. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. Is that from Exodus? Is that from Exodus? The name of our Jesus, name of Jesus series, right? Exodus 3:14, right? Name of God of our fathers, had glorified his son, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. Now, and you killed the priest of God. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 17. And now, Acts 3:17. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance he did it, and did also your rulers. Look at verse 18. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had what? Fulfilled. Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing of God shall come for the presence of God. So what was their message? Repent. That the sin. So did Peter make the signs and wonders the message? Did he maintain the message? Repent, that the kingdom of God is that I may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. Acts 5:12. Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many what? Acts 5:12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the what? People. Look at verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter's passing might overshadow them, some of them. And there came also multitude out of the cities round about on Jerusalem, bringing what? Sick folks. And them which were vexed with unclean spirit. And what happened? They casted out the spirit and they healed them. Now remember, I said yesterday, casting out of devils is similar to healing the sick, and is a pointer and a sign to what? Forgiveness of what? Sins. Hallelujah. So what was their teaching? Forgiveness of sins, not miracles. Are we here? See Acts 13:38. Their teaching remained forgiveness of sins and not what? Miracles. So they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the forgiveness of sins that God offers in the resurrection. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the what? Forgiveness of sins. Chapter 14, verse 7. And they that preach the gospel,
Now, look at they, verse 6, Acts 14, 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the what? The gospel. Look at verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in what? What were they preaching? Miracles or gospel? Gospel. What the impotent man, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had what? Walk. Then the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceived that he had faith to be healed. And he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and what? Walked. What was Paul preaching?
So, can we say he was preaching the gospel and signs were following? Is that the fulfillment of Mark chapter 16?
Love, look at Acts 19. Acts 19, 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 19. Look at Acts 19. Look at Acts 19, gracious Father. Look at Acts 19, I don't know where to start. Look at 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, such that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or what? Aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul what? Preached. They're saying, see what happens. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. What happened? The evil spirit dealt with them. It says, what? The evil spirits answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Right? And it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. Mm-hmm. Thank God there was blood. And prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and what? Wounded. Evil spirit beat you. You fled out of the house with boxer and singlets. Praise Jesus. That what was lacking in their hearts? They've not been well taught. How were they supposed to be well taught? In constant fellowship among saints, in the teaching among saints, in local church. Small thing enter your house like this now. You read meaning. You are in your house. You are hearing kum. The cat is behind the door. You are afraid to check the door. You say the cat is not is invisible. Cat is literally behind your door, but you are scared to check it. You check the place, you know you are safe. You not say it's invisible, there is witches. A vulture comes in front of your house, you say it has meaning. Or a dead animal comes in front of your house, you just get it out of the place, Jade. What is there? What is that? That's nonsense. You see, as a believer, evil spirit should not have authority over you. Let it be that you go for evangelism. Yeah, so you pray, the person will not get healed, but not that he beat you. That he beat you, and if in case he loses, he beat you. Take it as persecution for the gospel. Hallelujah! And this was known all over the Jew and Greek also dwelling in Ephesus. Now look at it, though. Signs and wonders were seen amongst people in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of Jesus was what? Magnified. And many that what? Believed, they came and they confessed and showed their deed. Verse 19 now says, many of them also brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of what? Silver. Verse 21, 2, 3, go. So mightily grew the word of God and what? So what grew in Ephesus? The word of God grew and prevailed. When you say the word of God grew, what happened? More people came into God's light to learn God's word. Altogether. So what was the message? It wasn't healing. It was the gospel, the forgiveness of sin. But healing is a sign, right, that accomplished that. Altogether. So healing is the evidence of the message of forgiveness of sin. Write that down to your notes quickly. Healing is the evidence, right, of the message of what? Forgiveness of what? Sins. Healing is the message, is the evidence, rather, of the message of what? Forgiveness of sins. Look at Matthew 10. When you're done with that, just write Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 5 to 8. Let's see that quickly. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 8. Healing is a pointer, right? Healing is the evidence of the what? Message of what? Forgiveness of sins. So look at Matthew 10, 5. After he listed out the names of the apostles, Matthew 10, 5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. What did he say unto them? Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the what? house of Israel. And as you go, what happened? Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. So is the kingdom of heaven at hand now? Is the kingdom of heaven at hand now? Yes and no. When it says preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven about? The resurrection? Yes, so is that trying to say that there's the hour has come? Is at hand, the hour has come, the day has come. This is the day the Lord has made. What day is that? The day of the word resurrection. How to get, so they were to preach the what? Resurrection. And what happened? They were to preach. Now see what it says. It says, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 8. Shake, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have what? Received freely. Now, there's something I want you to point attention to when it comes to healing. And this thing I'm about to talk about now goes hand in hand with healing a lot of times. And it's called what? Faith. Altogether. So let's round up this series with a conversation on faith. Quick conversation. Are we here? Are we here? Say, God's faithfulness is in me. I've received of God's faithfulness. Say, I'm a man of faith. Look at Luke 5:15. I'm a man of faith. I am a man of faith. I walk the miraculous. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Are you there? Have you gone home? You are home. Lovely, 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 lovely. Now look at Luke 5, 15. But so much the more, are we there? When there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to gather to what? To what? So if great multitudes gather to hear, it means fundamentally Jesus was a teacher that people ought to hear. Are you here? So they gather to hear, and what? To be healed by him of their what? Infirmity. Look how I'm going to show you right now. Look at 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness, and what? He prayed. Now look at verse 17. He now says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as what he was preaching, that there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was what? Ready to heal. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken. What was Jesus doing? He wasn't doing healing meeting. Are we here? What was he doing? He was preaching. Bible tells us the power of the Lord was made available to what? To heal. And the people saw the power of the Lord. And there was a man that was in a bed that was brought in that was with palsy. And when they could not find a way in verse 19, they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went up through the what? Roof. Now look at verse 20. When Jesus saw their what? When Jesus saw their what? So what? That means faith can be seen. Are we here? Faith can be seen. Let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are what? Their sins. What did they come for? Healing. What did he say? Your sins are forgiven. Are we together? That means healing, physical healing, has something to do or is in relation or has a relationship with what? Your sins are what? Forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. I'm born of the Holy Ghost. So they came to hear, and what they would have been hearing would be the message of the kingdom. Is that the message of God's reconciliation plan? So that was what they were hearing, and they built up faith and wanted to be healed. And God, Jesus, what saw their faith? So Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Look at them and say, faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. Say, faith can be seen. Look at your neighbor. Say, faith can be seen. Oh, hallelujah. So faith can be seen. Remember the centurion? The Bible tells you that he met Jesus and said, my servant is sick at home. And the guy said, come, let's go to your house. I said, no, you don't have to come to my house. What do? Say the words. Say, faith can be seen. A step further, say, faith can be spoken. And faith can be heard. Are we together? So Jesus saw their faith. Let me show you a typical example in Mark 11. Mark 11. Matthew, Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. I am supernatural. His resurrection power is at work in me. I am supernatural. Are you there? Saying Jesus is here. He never said goodbye. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have what? Faith in God. Look at 23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not in doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which thou what? Says, shall what? Come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he what? What is consistent in that verse? Say. How many times do you have say? Count it. Count, check the Bible. Count it. Count, count it. How many times do you have say in that Bible verse? Mark 11:23. Okay. How many times do you have say and say it? No. Check it again. How many says do you have? Are there four says there? Look at it. Then verily I what? Say. What is he explaining? Verse 22. Have what? Faith in God. So faith can be spoken. And faith can be what? Heard. So it says whatever you say. Are we together? Be thou what? Removed. So what is he saying? He's using the knowledge of what you seem to be impossible to give an example of what can be said and things will happen. Are we together? Are we together? What is truly explained is that words can actually dematerialize that which is seen as impossible. Say faith can be heard and faith can be spoken. Say faith can be heard and faith can be spoken. Look at Luke 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6:17. Luke 6:17. And Judas, the brother of James, Luke 6:17. That's verse 16, rather. Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. Remember, this was written after he betrayed, not prophecy. Altogether. 17 now says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples, and great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be what? Healed of their diseases. Now, let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the whole multitude sought touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he what? Healed them all. Now he now said, lifted up his eyes and disciples and said, what? Blessed are the poor, or blessed be ye poor, for yours is the what? Kingdom of God. Are we together? Now, so if you look at the consistent use of faith, you'll realize that a lot of times he dealt with speaking. Like we saw in Mark chapter what? 11, right? Say. If you say, this shall happen. If you say. So it means that we can keep speaking faith. Are we together? So it means you can know a man of faith by what he says. It also means you can know a man of faith by how he says what he says. Are we here? Yes, sir. Now, can faith be seen? Yes, sir. In actions? Can faith be heard? Yes, sir. In words? Can faith be spoken? In words. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that as believers, we ought not to ever lend our words to words of doubt. Write that in your notes. We ought not to ever, we should never give room to doubt or lend your words to doubt. Don't give room to doubt around you. Don't give room to doubt around your space. Keep speaking faith words, words of faith. Since you know now faith can be spoken, keep speaking faith words. Imagine what Abraham's doctor would have said to him when he didn't have a child. Just imagine. Write this down on your note. What did I say? Never give room to doubts around you. Is that right? Never give room to faith. You see, and that's why in your approach to life generally, it will reflect what your doctrinal slant says. You can know a man who will do valiantly in the healing of the sick by what he says in his everyday life. Are we here? You can know a man. Never give room to doubt around you. Never give room to. Lend your words to words of faith. Say, I lend my words to the words of faith. Say, I lend my words to faith. I lend my words. So it means faith is tangible. Can we say faith is tangible? Faith can be seen. Is fear tangible as well? Can fear be seen? It can be seen. So faith can be seen. Fear can be seen. Do not tolerate fear around you. Do not tolerate fear around you, but tolerate what? Faith. Guard your environment with faith.
I wrote this down. I said, our words can show a destination. Write this down. Our words can show a destination of where we are going to, or a path that we are following. Our words have the ability, just from into your words, our words have the ability to show the destination of where you are going to, or what you can frame with your words. Let me now show you a typical example in the river. Matthew 8. Our words can show a destination of where we are going to, or a path that we're already following. So your words can reflect your heart. Your words reflect your heart, the slant of your heart. What is your heart saying? What are you giving yourself to? Don't give room to fear. Don't give room to doubt. I know I always say this thing. Always believe the best of every situation. Are we together? Always believe the best of every situation. Let it be that anything that happens eventually because of unforeseen circumstances meets you in faith. Don't give up. See, we have an ability not to give up. Do you know why? Because God is a God that doesn't give up. He's a patient God. So that God that doesn't give up is in you not to give up. Are we together? It's in you not to give up. No matter what has come your way, no matter what, never tolerate doubt. Never tolerate fear. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8:23. Our words can show a destination of where we are going, or can show a path we are what? Following. Look at Matthew 8 quickly. Verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse what? 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples what? Followed him. Follow. Now look at 24. And behold, there arose a great what? Tempest in the what? Sea. Insomuch that the what? Ship was what? Covered with what? Have you been on water before? You been on water before? I don't mean swim. I don't mean hotels. Swim, but I mean bath. Have you entered a lagoon? Have you entered river? Water. Flowing water. Eh? Hey. My first experience. I went. It's called Kaya. Correct me please. Kayaking. You know how to kayak? Is that a word? You know how to do it, or you just know the word. That's how they start. Lending your words to doubt. Say, I can do it. You know, it was when I saw the picture of that kayaking with my cousin that I remembered I was wearing life vest. You know what that means? It means throughout that kayaking, I know those kayaking boats, very, very slim, this thing, your water will be touching the water, small. You know, I want to now saw the pictures. So I was wearing life, you know, if you have a life vest, you can almost never drown. Except you are pushing yourself down. Or they follow into that water. Or that is water they do, the sacrifice in your village. See, if you are wearing a life vest, it will keep you afloat. You know, so sometimes, a lot of times, because I've been having experience with water lately. A lot of times, when I see all those plane, when you're about to fly, in the stress, they just put it red. You know that thing now? And they blow. Yeah. I say, look at you, you see water. You will not remember this thing. You will not remember all this thing. Imagine your plane land this like Pacific Ocean. You'll be there. They'll be telling you, say, I know they would be doing audio. People will not. I say, yeah, look at this one. Let's just be praying that we'll get to our destination. Let's leave grammar. Because when you watch, I used to watch Nat Geo or something like that, where they show plane crash and they will act it as what really happened. You. One small flight like this I took 2012 with my dad like this, that people were peeing on their body. Life something like this. So our plane could not land because of the weather. It will try like this, so it cannot land. It will go to go round again. We will also for like 2 hours, Abuja to Lagos. 2 hours. That was the plane that crashed the next day. You know that, remember that plane? That was the exact, I'm not saying that's the airline. That was the plane that crashed the next day. I was on it the day before. All together. So imagine people that crashed on that one. So rest in peace. But the truth is that when you land on water, all those you know me, I like to see that emergency exit. Not because I want to rescue anybody. They come and reach you. They say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you sure? Do you want to say, in every circumstance, no matter the circumstance, you're ready to go, able to help rescue people? As what? As whose? So may I just go there for easy access to door number one and number two, leg room, I'll be leg space. And you just got this. They say, you know, sometimes people run away from it. You know, so sometimes they'll come and now meet you and say, we have an empty area. I would gladly go there. May I know I'm on the plate, will not crash. Even if it's for me to keep water under my breath as we are going. But the truth is that when you get used to it, you know, so sometimes when you enter a plane for the first time, the best time not to fly a plane for the first time is when the weather is foggy. This month, Christmas, go by road. Yes, Christmas period, January, go by road. February, go by road. Valentine, go by road. When you want to go for summer, where everywhere is clear. Why? Because wind will just blow you. Your plane will just do. And if you turn your stomach, and if you're not careful, you start having a headache. What did I tell them at home? Oh my goodness. You see people panicking. I saw one guy that dressed like I was like, you'd have thought another guy was saying, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. I used to tell my dad, I think that was my first time on the plane, if I'm not mistaken. My dad, which I heard his hand too. I was like, he has been flying for like over 20 years before then. I was not doing like that. I was doing like, so in my mind, I was trying to resolve it in my mind that this is how it usually does. You understand that kind of comfort you are giving yourself. But moment you just say, the first thing you want to hear is, cabin crew, prepare for landing. You are there, prepare for landing. The way you have the greatest joy. You know, some of you are comporting yourself here. After you had that kind of turbulent experience, once you just hear, brew on the floor, you know, nothing can happen. That's how you're full of faith. You're full of faith. We're giving yourself like someone. Hallelujah. So I said all of that to explain the story we want to read right now. Don't laugh at them. That they were in sheep and there was tempest. You see the word King James used, they say tempest. There was tempest in the sea, great tempest. You see, in so much that the ship was covered with waves. But he was what? Asleep. The prince of peace was asleep. Now look at verse 25. He now said, and disciples came to him and awoke and saying, Lord, save us. I said, we'll perish. Now what did Jesus say in verse 26? He said unto them, why are you fearful? Why did he call them fearful? He saw fear. Are we here? Now, your faith has made thee whole. Right? Or, how did he say it? Your sins. And he saw their faith and he said, your sins are forgiven. That's the other scripture we left. So, did Jesus see faith? Did Jesus as well see fear? So it means faith and fear are tangible things. So he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a what? Great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea they obey him? Altogether. So it means that what? Jesus knew that he ought to expect the best from every situation. Altogether. Jesus knew that. So when you want to pray for the sick, always expect that the person will get healed. Are we here? Always believe the best, that the person will get healed. See, it doesn't take from you to believe that you will get healed. Altogether. Always believe and expect the best. When you see yourself in difficult situations, always believe the best. Always believe. Every spot, I'm dead, though. I'll die, though. As if death is one picnic. You just really go and just eat puff puff and come back and you just continue your life. And then you'll be joking with death. It's not dead, though. When you say I'm dead, it shows what you filled your heart in. Because I'm dead is an expression of what is from inside. A lot of times, when you hear people say I'm dead, though, it means that they've built their life in a way that fear is their greatest torment. Altogether. So this is what I'm dead, though. Don't kill me. Ha. It seems like joke, but it's an expression of what is in your heart. Yes, we know, we say it's figurative. Yeah, you know, somebody will not come and tell you that the words of your mouth. You know, and now people always say this kind of thing. They say, don't say I'll be poor, don't say I'll be broke. Someone will now tell you and I say, Someone will now come and tell you and say that if it's not, if it's by words. How come when I say I'll be rich, I'm not rich? But it's the poor that I say, I can't remember how you used to say all those kind of things. Are we together? So, say, I don't yield my words. to fear and doubt. Say, I yield my words to faith. Altogether. So we see various examples of faith originated words. That's why you see, for instance, in Matthew 6:38, it says, take no thought, saying. Altogether. Take no thought, saying. That means you lend your words, or you activate fear, or people now see fear based on what you see, or say rather, or express. Altogether. Now, you know, I always say this thing. I usually say this thing. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Is that not true? But you can stop a bird from perching a nest over your head. Do you get that? You can't stop a bird will always fly over your head. But you can stop a bird from perching over your head. You'll do like this. Altogether. So that same thing with thoughts. In our generation right now, where information is on the loudest, yeah, you can't really stop information from getting to you. You can't really stop. No matter who you are here right now, anything that makes you not to know that Russia and Ukraine are fighting. Do you understand? We need to pray for you. Do you understand? Not because you've tried to watch channels to see what is the latest news. But information is everywhere. Altogether. So what does lending your thoughts to fear and doubt mean? You start thinking Nigeria is the next target. John 20:23. Or look at verse 21. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he what? Breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He says, whosoever sins ye what? Remits. They shall be what? Remitted. Now, yesterday we looked at the archshepherd, which is the archangel, and we as angels have our beautiful feet, beautiful, in his work. Are we together? So, in the stead of Jesus, we now have the authority to say what? Your sins are forgiven. He says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are what? Remitted. And unto them. And whosoever sins you what? Retain. They are what? Retained. Then he said unto them in verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not what? Seen, and yet have what? Believed. And many other signs truly Jesus did. Now listen to me carefully. Many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Are we together? Check verse 21 together. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But these are written that ye might what? What are these that are written? Beautiful. So signs are written that ye might what? Believe that Jesus is the what? Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have what? Life through his name. In Luke 24, he tells you that what? It is written that it be of Christ to suffer this and to rise on the third day. And that verse 47, that repentance and what? Remission of sin should be what? Preached in his name. Mark 16 now tells you what? Go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believe is saved, that shall be baptized. He that believe not shall be what? Condemned. It says, this sign shall follow them that believe. Verse 17, in my name shall cast out devils and devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall drink things deadly, and not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. 20 now tells you that what? As they were teaching God's word was now confirmed with what? Signs and wonder. So, what is the proof that a man has believed and he has received the forgiveness of sins? You will what? Lay hands. That's a sign on the sick. And you will have faith. Lay hands. Why? Because Jesus said it, I believe it. You lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. So it means that as a disciple of the word, as we learn forgiveness of sins, we have a sign, or we have signs or proofs that should follow. What's the major proof, fundamental proof? The healing of the what? The sick. So it means that the healing of the sick is fundamentally a sign to show that you've been healed from sin and death. That you've been made whole. You've been made complete. You've received God's supernatural spiritual healing. And by that, you ought to have signs follow you. Are we together? So one of the things you need to pay attention to is what? Lend your words to faith. Don't allow doubt around you. Say, I'm a man of faith. Say, I'm a man of faith. Say, I'm a man of faith. Say, I do not lend my words to fear. No matter what comes my way, I stay in faith. I stay in faith. Say, nothing in life will shake my faith. Nothing in my life will shake my faith. Say, I express faith. I express faith. Not doubt, not fear. I express faith, not doubt, not fear. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. My hands are supernatural hands. Say it again. Say, my hands are supernatural hands. Say, my hands are supernatural hands. My hands are no longer natural. My hands are no longer natural. Say, signs follow me. Say, signs follow me. Let me say one more thing again. You know, one other way again you can practice the things of the Spirit and practice healing is by getting yourself healed. Are we together? In fact, one of the very great ways to practice healing, you're getting yourself healed. Yeah, you feel pain, right? You feel any pain in your body, you feel any pain anywhere. You know what? You just lay your hands on yourself. Just touch wherever it's paining you. And say, I decree by the power and the authority I have in Christ Jesus, every pain I command you to dissolve. Every pain I command you to leave. Yeah, I have authority to speak to sickness, and sickness will hear. Say, sickness hears God's word and obeys. Say, the devil hears God's word and obeys. So there will be sometimes you want to pray for the sick and you need to cast out devils. Hallelujah. Because some sicknesses you see in some people's life as a result of infirmities or what you call what? Devils that have possessed them. But God's power is readily available for any. I said something yesterday. There is no sickness on earth that God's power cannot heal. Not one. Not one. Let that be your conviction and your resolution. There is no sickness on earth that God's power cannot heal. Bow your heads and just talk in tongues for a few minutes while we close this morning.